الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you over the faith that you practice. I'm also not here to apologize. I'm unapologetic when it comes to the rites and rituals regarding my faith. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. And also, don't forget your Quran. We have a lot of verses that we're going to be using today, so you need your Quran with you and any paper, pencil, or anywhere to take notes. You need to have that by your side. By the way, those who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to my weekly Islamic studies class, and hope to see you at many more, or you hear me at many more of these classes. I want to give you something that's been happening worldwide. Right now we have what is called a pandemic, which is, of course, the coronavirus throughout the world. And I don't think any place in the world that has not been touched by this virus. But what I want to focus on today is another pandemic, which is that of discrimination against people, and people being unjustly treated or wrongly treated. That's what this particular topic will be today. It's about justice, and how does Islam see justice? Because right now we have marches and protests worldwide regarding justice, or the injustice that are done to a few people over other people. These marches and protests are special, not just for the reason that they have these marches and protests, but also they remind me of my responsibility as a Muslim to stand up for justice. And so I want you to open up your Quran and turn to chapter 16, verse 90. Again, open up Quran, and you're going to turn to chapter 16, verse 90. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to get there, open up your Quran, and get to that particular chapter and to that particular verse. And hopefully you do have your Quran with you. If you don't have a Quran, you could always go to whyislam.org, and they will send you a Quran in Arabic or Spanish or English or whatever language that you speak. They may have that language, a Quran in that language, so you'll be able to understand. But the Quran itself is written in Arabic. The original Quran, when you say Quran, I'm talking about original. Yeah, I guess you could say original. The Quran itself is in Arabic. Then you had the various translation in French and Urdu and others, but a lot of times that get missed. The essence of Quran get missed when you translate it from one language to another language. But the Quran itself is in Lughat Arabiya, in the Arabic language. Now, why do Muslims have to stand up for justice? Allah says in the chapter I just mentioned, the verse I just mentioned, Allah commands doing justice, doing good to others, and giving to near relatives. He forbids indecency, wickedness, and rebellion. He admonishes you so that you may take heed. So Allah, He loves us to do good. He loves doing for us to do justice and not to be unjust towards other people, and giving to our near relatives, and also forbid us from being indecent or being wicked towards other people. And you all know what I mean, because you may live in areas where one group of people are hard on another group of people. that they're wicked towards other people, that indecent towards other people, just mainly because of the class of that person, those people, or because of their skin color. And so, but this is wrong. We are not allowed to treat people in a bad way, or in a wicked way, or disrespectful way, just because they're different from you or from me. I mentioned a long time ago in one of our earlier classes about how Allah, He created us into nations and tribes. Why? So that we can learn from each other and not despise one another. This is the reason for Him creating us into the nations and into tribes. Not so I hate you because you're from one tribe, or you hate me because I'm from another tribe. No, we're from different tribes. I look the way I look, you look the way you look. And the thing is that you are no better than I am, and I'm no better than you. You want to be better than me? It's all about being pious. Piety, taqwa, is the thing that makes you better than me. And that's Islam. It's not about your outside, because Allah will not look at your lineage. He doesn't care about your lineage, because so you came from a certain family or anything like that, or you just have certain possessions. He cares nothing about that. Or your outward appearance, he cares nothing about that. What He cares about is how pious you are, how faithful you are, how much you worship Allah and obey Allah and encourage others to do the same thing. That's what's important to Allah. That's what's important to Islam and us as Muslims. And I want you to understand where Muslims are coming from regarding that. And I'm not supposed to hate you because you're from one tribe, and you're not supposed to hate me because I'm from another tribe. Matter of fact, the Prophet, one brother, one of the Muslim brothers, he was getting on during the time of the Prophet, he was getting on the case of Bilal ibn Rabah, who was an Abyssinian Muslim, and he was a dark-skinned Muslim. And so he got in his case and said, and got kind of angry with him and said, you're the son of a black woman, or something like that. And so the Prophet summoned the man, talked to the man about that. The man was real sad and hurt about it. And Rasulullah, the Prophet Muhammad, said to the man, he said, look, you still have jahiliyyah in you. You still have ignorance in you. This is not a proper way for you to conduct yourself as a Muslim, saying that to him. This is negative. This is not from Islam. And so the brother, he went to Bilal, and he said, Bilal, please forgive me. I'm not going to raise my head up until you basically step on my neck or use my neck for a mat. And but Bilal said, no, I'm not going to do that. He picked him up, kissed him on the forehead. I'm going to kiss the forehead of you. And you basically, I forgive you. You're my Muslim brother. Okay, you said this. Okay, but that no big deal. But the Prophet, it was a big deal for the Prophet when he heard about this, and he got on the man's case. Bilal was, alhamdulillah, he was gentle towards the man when he said what he said, and the man displayed some racism because of Bilal's skin color. But Bilal, he took the high road, and he said, no. He's basically saying that we're good. And so this is, alhamdulillah, he showed a good character of the Muslim. And so again, when we see something as Muslims, we're supposed to what? We're supposed to change it with our hand. And if we can't do so, we say something with our mouth, and we cannot do so, we at least hate it in our heart, which is the lowest form of faith or the weakest form of faith. That is the mandate of the Muslim. This is what we're supposed to do, and this is what we have to do as Muslims. And we see something that is not right, like the Prophet did, he says something with his mouth to the man. You are wrong. And then the man, he took upon himself to go to Bilal and said what he said to Bilal, his Muslim brother, although they were from different tribes. Now I want you to turn to chapter 3, verse 18. I'm going to start flipping your pages. Chapter 3, verse 18. Now Allah says, Allah Himself has testified to the fact that there is no God but Him, and so do the angels and those who are well grounded in knowledge, standing firm on justice. There is no Ilah, meaning God, except Him, the Mighty, the Wise. So we see here again, Allah, He mentions about that, He testified that He is the only God. The angels do the same thing. And those with knowledge are grounded in the knowledge and standing firm on justice. Justice is throughout the Quran. You can read throughout the Quran and you see justice, justice, justice throughout the Quran. And this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be a just people. If someone comes to me and I'm the judge, I'm the Qadi, and he asks, and one preacher's person say this thing about something, another person says this thing about something, a particular object they're arguing over, then I have to, if it's my son or my relative coming to me complaining or being the one being complained against or complaining, I don't go on my son's side or my daughter's side, anything like that, because they're my relatives. I listen to the facts and then judge according to Islam. Quran, which is the first of Sharia, which is the first form of law in Islam, Islamic law source. And the second source is the Sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning his way, his path, and what he agreed, what he did not agree with, those kind of things. And so that's what I base my judgment on, and nothing more than that. Because he's my son or my daughter or my cousin or my mother or brother, anything like that, I don't judge according to that. I judge according to Islam, and then because I have to go before Allah. If I judge according to my relatives, I got to answer to Allah about this kind of situation. So I too must be a just and honorable person. Let's turn now also to chapter 4 in the Quran, verse 135. That's chapter 4, verse 135. And in this verse, it's also mentioned about Allah and about the importance of being just. It says, O believers, stand firm for justice and bear true witness for the sake of Allah, even though it be against yourselves, your parents, or your relatives. It does not matter whether the party is rich or poor. Allah is well wisher of both. So let not your selfish desires sway you from justice or swerve you from justice. If you distort your testimony or decline to give it, then you shall remember that Allah is fully aware of your actions. And so here a lot of things going on, but what I want to pull out from this particular verse is Allah, he says, to stand firm for justice and bear witness even for the sake of Allah, even though it begins myself or my parents or relatives. And it doesn't matter if the person or people are rich or poor. It does not matter. We have to still stand up for justice. There was a time when the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, there was this rich lady, and she stole a bracelet or a necklace or something like that. And so we know that Islamically what's supposed to happen is she's supposed to get her hand cut off. And so some of the people supported her, I guess her friends or whatever, and they went to one of the close companions of the Prophet, and he said, can you appeal to the Prophet on this lady's behalf? So you basically, he doesn't cut this lady's hand off. And so this particular Sahaba or his companions, he went to the Prophet, and he said, Ya Rasul, so and so and so, she stole the necklace, and basically, can you not do the hudud or do the Islamic ritual that's supposed to take place in terms of what's supposed to take place in terms of her stealing, which is having her hand cut off? And the Prophet, I believe in the situation, he got angry. He was a little upset, and Allah knows best. And that he said, even if my own daughter Fatima stole, I would cut her hand off. And Fatima was his daughter, his blood daughter. She loved him, he loved her. But if she were the one to steal, then he would cut her hand, because her dude is her dude. And no one can play with the rules and regulations of Islam. No one has that right to say, okay, we're going to do the hudud, or we're going to cut your hand off over here, the poor person, but then the rich person, we're going to let go. Okay, no problem, I didn't see anything. No, it doesn't work like that in Islam. Everyone is equal in the eyes of Islam. And so here we have in this particular verse I just read, which is chapter 4, verse 135, a lot where he says, O believers, stand firm for justice and bear true witness for the sake of Allah, even though it be against yourselves, your parents, or your relatives. And it doesn't matter if the party's rich or poor. That doesn't matter at all. It's just that they did wrong. They did something against Islam and the rules and regulations of Islam. Then they have to get what Islam prescribes for them to get. And it doesn't matter who the individual is. We as Muslims, we always have to be just and stand up for justice and stand against injustice. That's why we certainly support any marches and protests that takes place to stand up for justice. Because if you can't change it with your hand, then you do something, you say it with your tongue. Can't change it with your tongue, then you do something, then what? You do hate it, at least in your heart. And these worldwide protests and marches, these are people saying something with their, they're saying something basically with them, with by marching and by protesting, and that's where they're saying something with their mouths. We are not for this. We are against the injustice that you're doing to towards some people. That is not right. You need to change policies, and everyone should be on board and not being unjust towards other people. And showing people kindness as we all should do. Also, it was mentioned in chapter 7, verse 29. Again, that's chapter 7, verse 29. I hope you'll be able to get to that in your Quran. And it says, O Muhammad, say to them, my Rabb, meaning my Lord, has commanded justice, and that you set your faces in the right direction at the time of every prayer and call on him with true devotion. You shall return to him as he created you in the beginning. So again, Allah addresses Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and he says, say to the people, my Rabb, my Lord commanded justice. And so again, where it's being reinforced again in another verse within the Quran, where it's mentioned about Allah commanding us as Muslims to be just. And they're mentioned in another verse, which is in chapter 8, verse 5. Again, chapter 8, verse 5. And they mention, your Lord ordered you to leave your home to fight for justice. But some of the believers were reluctant. It was during the battle, and some of the Muslims did not want to go out to fight. So he talking about those individuals. But it said, he ordered you to leave your home to fight for justice. It's the protest, and Allah knows best. This is my humble opinion. The protests and the marches are people's way of what? Fighting for justice, standing up against injustice. And so Islam supports this. And Allah knows best. You may have some scholars or others saying, no, we don't do it, we don't support this kind of thing. But this is up to what I'm seeing and my understanding of Islam. And I understand Islam on a very, very low level. But it says here, you leave your home to fight for justice. We can't just, and we don't want to have the lowest form of faith, just hate it in our heart. For us, the strongest iman, strongest faith, is to change it with your hands. And if you can't do so, then you say something with your mouth. And in these marches and protests, that's what they're doing. They say something, saying something with their mouth. And also in chapter 7, verse 199, that's chapter 7, verse 199, and it mentions, show forgiveness, speak for justice, and avoid ignorance. It says again, show forgiveness, speak for justice, and avoid ignorance. So again, look at that middle one, is speak for justice. And we had to stand up for justice. No matter who is against, we're not afraid to stand up for justice. No matter if, and it's truth to power, if you will, that we tell those who are in charge, you are wrong. You are wrong to do what you're doing towards these people. And the thing about it is that you have the angel on your right shoulder writing down your good deeds, the angel on your left side shoulder writing down your bad deeds. And they may get away with that in this world, but in the next world, or standing before Allah, they're not getting away with anything. Allah knows everything, and anything that we do, anything that we say, it is written down. And then on the day of judgment, it'll be all in our book. It'll be written down. Do you do this? Do you do that? Do you unjust towards the people? Do you harm the people? Do you arrest the people because they were from a different tribe? Do you take from the people's land because they're from a different tribe? Do you put your knee on the neck of people because they're from a different tribe? Or do you choke a people because they're from a different tribe? These kind of things are not welcome in Islam. And people may think they're getting away with it in this world, and they may get away with it in this world, but they're not going to get away with it in the next world. And that's a world that is everlasting. This world only lasts 60, 70, let's say 110 years or something like that. After that, it's over. The next world is forever, and it doesn't end. And so the thing is, that's where you will get your reward in the next world or your punishment in the next world. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 8. Again, chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, O believers, be steadfast for the sake of Allah, and bear true witness, and let not the enmity of the people incite you to do injustice. Do justice that is nearer to piety. Fear Allah. Surely Allah is fully aware of aware of all your actions. And so we see here again, it says do not do injustice, it says to do justice. Doing justice is nearer to piety, and that we are to fear Allah. And all the actions that we do, or all the actions that we do, is written in our book. So if your person is being unjust towards someone else, as long as you have breath in your body, it's not too late for you to stop being not just towards people. And ask the people to forgive you. Because it's going to come a day when we're standing and we think we're on our way to paradise, but then you have this long line of people standing to the side, and you're wondering why they're standing to the side and they're smiling on that day. If you've done anything wrong towards people on that day, if you have a pile of good deeds, they will start taking from your good deeds. The next person taking from your good deeds. The next person that you wrong taking from your good deeds. Until you run out of good deeds. Then what happens after that, you still have another 10 or 20 people in your line looking for justice. And then what happens at that point when you ran out of good deeds, then you will start taking on their bad deeds. And the next one taking on his bad deeds, until you get all this mountain high of bad deeds, and you end up going into the hellfire because you have all your good deeds are gone and you have all these bad deeds. So your action should be that of justice and being kind towards people, because either you're going to pay now or you're going to pay later. But for surely, you're going to pay. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he was in a group, alhamdulillah, before he became Muslim, Al-Fudul, and this particular group, they stood up for people who were wronged. Because in Mecca, you had a lot of people that come there, and they may get wronged. This is before he was the Muslim, and later the leader of the Muslim, and they were wronged, and so they had no one to go to, no one stand up for them. And to a man, one time he got up near the Kaaba, and he said, "So and so, he was wrong. He wronged me. Who's going to stand up for me?" And then Muhammad, may peace be upon him, his groups basically said, we're standing up for you. And so, because what happened is that the man had did some work for another man, and then the man refused to pay him. In Islam, you're supposed to pay the person before the sweat dries on their forehead or on their brow. And so the man, he was the man of his money. The man would not give him his money. And so the Prophet Muhammad and his group, they went to the man and demanded the money from the man, and the man ended up giving the money to the man that he owed the money to. And so at that point, we see that his particular group that he was part of is that they stood up for justice. He still have for justice, and the Prophet Muhammad, may peace bless be upon him, he still had a love for this particular group, even while he was Muslim and after the establishment of Islam and so forth, and Islam spread throughout the land, he still had this affinity and his love for this particular group, for them standing up for what is right. And also, I want to remind us that when the Prophet Muhammad, he thought, how can I put this? It was one of the Sahaba, he said, meaning one of the companions was Abu Huraira, he one of the companions of the Prophet. He said, "There's a sadaqah to be given for every joint of the human body, and for every day on which the sun rises, there is a reward or a sadaqah, meaning a charity, a gift, for the one who establishes justice among the people. So you want to have this charity or this gift? Then establish justice amongst the people. This is a reward that ones get from Allah. It's like the similar to sadaqah or giving charity. To establish justice in the land, meaning through policy or standing up for justice, meaning having protests and marches, you're standing up for justice and establishing justice in the land. And so there's a charity in that. Also, Abu Huraira, one of the companions of the Prophet, he also mentioned that the Allah's Messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, "He who has been ruler over 10 people will be brought shackled on a day of resurrection till justice looses his chains or tyranny brings him to destruction." And so the thing is, if the person that ruling over just 10 people were brought on shackles on that day, and if he was just to the people, his chains will be loosened. But if he was not just towards the people, then he will be like a tyrant, and it will bring destruction for him on that day. So those of you out there, you think you're getting away with all this, the way you're treating people in a bad way, in an unjust way, then you're not getting away with anything. Because on the day of judgment, you will be brought before Allah Ta'ala, and then in this chain. And then when it showed that, yeah, this person was good, the person established justice and so forth, then your chain will loosen until maybe perhaps you no longer have chains on you. But then if these people saying, no, he was wrong, he was unjust, he treated us badly and the like, then you would have destruction on a day. You would be like a tyrant. Also, it was mentioned that Abu Bakr Siddiq, which is the father-in-law of Prophet Muhammad, peace be blessed be upon him, and the first Khalifa of Islam, the first leader of the Muslims at the death of the Prophet, he said, "In the matter of justice, all shall be equal in my eyes." This is what he said to the people. And also he said to the people this. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing he said to them. He said, at the time that he assumed the office of Khalifa, the leader over the Muslims, he said, the weak among you shall be strong with me to Allah, till Allah willing, his rights have been vindicated. And the strong among you shall be weak with me till, if it will Allah's will, I have taken what is due from him. So we see from this, under Abu Bakr Siddiq, under his command as the ruler, He said that I'm going to protect you weak ones. Don't worry about it. You are strong in my eyes. I'm going to make sure that you're going to be okay. And those who are, until you get what, if you're being wronged, I'm going to make sure you get your rights done. So under his beautiful leadership, he told the weak ones, I got you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to look after you. I'm going to make sure that you get your rights taken care of and no one's going to run over you. And as I mentioned before, when he said, in a matter of justice, all shall be equal in my eyes. He did not see a person because you're dark skinned, you're going to be unequal. And because you're light skinned, you're going to be on another certain level. And because you have this, because you're a rich person, you have a certain level of respect for me. If you're a poor person, you're not going to have respect for me. No. Abu Bakr Siddiq, he did not see people like that. In a matter of justice, he treated everyone in the same manner. In a matter of justice, all are equal in his eyes, which is a beautiful thing. Understand, my students, is that when injustice lives, justice dies. I want to say it one time. When injustice lives, justice dies. I want to mention another hadith of the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, when it said, the apostle of Allah, he never went out of my, it says, a prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, he never went out of my house, and it was mentioned by one of the prophet's wives, I believe it was one of the prophet's wives, and Allah knows best. And she said, the apostle of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, he never went out of my house without raising his eye to the sky and saying, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you, lest I stray or be led astray, or slip, or made to slip, or cause injustice, or suffer injustice, or do wrong, or have wrong done to me. This is the dua, or the supplication that he will do make to Allah. And in there he said that he caused justice or does injustice. He caused injustice or he suffers injustice. This is very, very important, my students. This is the prayer that he made when before he left the house, or while he was leaving the house, when he go out to be amongst the people, that he did not want to cause injustice nor have injustice done to him. And so, my beautiful brothers and sisters and students, if you have the opportunity to stand up for justice or against injustice, and you can do it safely, then of course, stand up, inshallah, if Allah willing, you do so. And may Allah be with you or be by your side as you do this. You can find out more about the Islamic faith or a stance on justice or against injustice and increase your knowledge of Islam. You go to whyislam.org or you go to Islamic Online University .ed, or you can go to AmericanOpenUniversity.ed, and you get more information, find out more information about Islam and our stand on justice and a lot of other subjects. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.